texting and walking, that thoroughly modern epidemic. Look at this guy walk into a wall, or this woman walk into a mall water fountain. And check this out, a bear on the loose, and this man texting almost walks right into him. Bonnie Miller walked off this pier into Lake Michigan and had to be rescued by the Coast Guard.
I couldn't let pride stand in my way of warning other people, you know, to not drive and text or walk and text. It can be dangerous.
Despite the modern romance with multitasking, the reality is the human brain evolved to do only one thing at a time. To test that, researchers at Western Washington University sent this clown on a unicycle through campus, and only about a quarter of people using their phones noticed him.
Only when I got real close up and he was like coming towards me did I really see it.
And by the way, in London, so many people are texting and walking, they have decided to pad some of the lampposts.
We're overwhelmed. Are you overwhelmed? Do you text and walk? Because we've got padded lampposts, we've got people walking into bears. My question is, what got the zookeeper overwhelmed? You know what I mean? Like, what happened there? And just to let you guys know, it actually gets serious because our very own Bronson Duke, he was so overwhelmed while texting me one day that he's our young adults pastor, if you do not know. This is a true story. You can't make this stuff up. He texted me and said, "Hey, I'm going to be late. I just ran into a wooden pole and knocked myself unconscious." So it happens even to the best of us. I mean, we live in a time, you guys, where we can get overwhelmed because there's just so much coming at us. There's so much going on. And I'm just thankful for our pastor, Rick Bizet, who heard from the Lord that we needed to talk about this. I know he's in BB right now, but could you give it up for Pastor Rick and Michelle, man? We love them. We're so thankful for them, the way they lead, the way they hear from God. And listen, if you were not here last weekend, I'm begging you to go and listen to the message. It was so good. Pastor Rick was digging into the different ways that we can think. And when he got into some areas of how we get overwhelmed with the way we think, he started asking the crowd, you guys were here, remember this. He said, "Man, if you struggle with thoughts of fear, man, I need you to raise your hand." And I was like, "Yeah." And he said some things. I was like, "That's me." And then he was like, "If you nitpick every little thing and you think that way critically all the time, you need to raise your hand." I raised my hand. And then he said something else. I was like, I'm right on the front row. And I was in a conundrum. Because I'm like, I'm a pastor. And I've raised my hand on every daggum one of these things. And Rick says, if you lie in church, God will kill you. But if I keep raising my hand, I'm going to get fired. So I'm not dead and I'm not fired, so I did something right. I don't know what happened. I just blacked out and went with it, you know. So I'm still here, praise God. But listen, we can get so overwhelmed because of many different things. I mean, look at the way we're on our phones all the time, all joking aside, but the way social media is coming at us, emails and all these text messages, we're always looking at it and staying on it. Then we think about the work obligations that can hit us, right? Then we've got our family, we love our kids, and nowadays, it's so much different having the kids, the schedule these days. Back when I was in high school, you just went to school and maybe played a sport. Like nowadays, kids are like, I do 16 different sports, and my parents are near suicidal, but I'm enjoying it, you know? And there's just so much going on all the time. Then we get into even just free time. I mean, some of y'all are getting stressed right now. Like, Chris, please just stop talking. And I want to tell y'all, we are overwhelmed in this day and age, big time. But here's why we're here today. I could give you so many good little practical pieces of wisdom. We could go and talk about all these different self-help books you could read. I could give you financial advice or march up here some of the greatest people to give financial advice to help you get out of debt or help you get a better house or help you get a different car that's not breaking down all the time or whatever the case may be. We could help you find and manage your time better through practical methods. But here's what I want to tell you, church. All the practical advice in the world is useless unless we address the spiritual root that causes fear, worry, and an overwhelmed life to manifest itself over and over and over again. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to look at what is the root. Why? Why do we live this way? Why are we always overwhelmed? Why are we always running to fear and worry? And I believe it's because somewhere along the way, somehow, our fears and our feelings trumped our faith. Somehow, the problems in our life overwhelmed us to the point that we forgot about the promises in our life. And so what we want to do is we want to dig in. I want all of you to take an inventory of your life and say, where is it that I've allowed some of this stuff to get in my way, some of this stuff to get at me, where now I'm out of faith, I'm out of the promise, and I'm walking in fear and I'm walking in my problems. I believe that that's the root cause, and the antidote to that root cause, the healing to that problem, is a bold faith in who God is, a bold belief in the promises that he makes us. And so today we're going to dig in to ourselves. I'm going to dig into me. I'm going to be real about one of these things that hits me, and I do not have faith in this area. And I'm asking all of us to take an inventory of our life and ask God, will you increase our faith so that we can get out of this cloud of an overwhelmed life and live a peaceful life at rest the way you want us to live. Amen? Let's get God in on this. Lord, I pray right now for your spirit to be here. In fact, I know that you promised that you'll never leave or forsake us, so we just welcome you because we know you're here. We ask you that we would be open and challenged to hear from you, God. Lord, I pray for every person in here, God, that we would recognize this is for me. I believe that today, that this is for all of us. This isn't just for somebody or maybe our neighbor, but God, that we would listen to your voice today and challenge ourselves to increase our faith. Because this overwhelmed world is not the world you want us living in. You want us living in your world. And your world looks a lot different. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We are going to be studying Hebrews 11. We're going to be camping out there. So if you got your Bible, if you got your digital Bible, turn to Hebrews 11. And I'm asking you guys today, if you have notes, there's a lot of room in your notes. Please write some of this stuff down. When you hear something, when something challenges you, write it down. Because these are the things that I'm asking you guys to pray about at the end of service. And it'll help you if we're writing these things down today. But we're going to be looking. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I'm just telling you, man, it's so cool. It's about all these heroes of the word and how each and every time when they had an option for fear, they chose faith. When they had the overwhelmed problems, they chose the promise. And then God was able to do these incredibly awesome things through their life. And so what we're going to do is take a look at what bold faith can do if we choose it. Okay? Number one, bold faith can give us revelation of heaven's plan. Can give us revelation of heaven's plan. Some of you are so overwhelmed in your life because you simply don't have a plan. You don't know what to do. You're waking up every day, and that's an overwhelming feeling, going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Let me read you the definition of a revelation. It's a surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. I love God's flair for the dramatic sometimes. Have you ever gotten a revelation about something that was enough to kind of make you stop what you were doing and go, oh, hold on a minute. That was a dramatic fact that I did not know up until now. I was driving one day and I got a text message, and yes, I'm part of the problem. I checked it, and it was from my wife, and she'd asked me to go to the grocery store, which is a pretty normal request, no big deal. I said, sure. Again, part of the problem, I texted. Anyway, and then she sent me the list. It was normal stuff, you know, tomatoes, bread, milk, whatever. And I was like, okay, so I put the phone down. All of a sudden, buzzes again. I look at it and says, oh, yeah, and pick up a pregnancy test because I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant. So I pulled over the car, people. This is a revelation, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm thinking to myself in my American mind, you know, like this is not the way to present that it's your first kid's on the way. It's via SMS text message. You know, I'm thinking, so I call her and I'm like, babe, you know, couldn't you, babe, picked up the phone, you know, phone a friend, you know, could we do something here? And she was like, Chris, this is simple. I may be pregnant. I need to find out if I'm pregnant. Then we will celebrate. Makes sense. Very German, very succinct. You know, we're not going to celebrate too soon or anything. I was like, oh, where do you want me to go get this pregnancy test? She goes, somewhere where people from New Life Church will not know you. I said, where's that? She said, Kmart. I ain't getting an endorsement from Kmart, you know what I mean? Like, that's always trying to get a plug in for places. I said, okay, babe. And I promise you, I went to Kmart, ran into three of y'all up in there. High-fiving, Chris, what's up, man? I had a pregnancy test hid between two DVDs I wasn't going to buy. I'm like, hey, man, it's good to see you. Leave me alone. You know, I'm just trying to get out of here with a daggum pregnancy test. That was an unknown fact given to me in a dramatic way. You know what? God wants to show you some unknown facts. He wants to give you the kind of things that make you pull over and go, wow, God, this is from you. Check it out, what it says in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. So you don't know where you're going, but God can show you where you're going almost in such a way that you can feel it, taste it, see it. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. Why? Why was their reputation so good? Because they were people of faith following God. So people around them noticed it. They weren't living overwhelmed. They were living full of peace, full of victory, because they were following faith, not feelings, not fear. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. He's saying, I want to show you just as honestly and as truthfully as you know that this earth was created by a creator God, I want to show you that your future is crafted by a creator God. But you've got to listen. You've got to hear from heaven on these things. And so here's what he wants to do. You can write this in the side. He wants to give you a plan for your storm. That's what he wants to do, because he wants to give you a revelation of heaven's plan. Check it out. Hebrews 11, 7. Okay? It was by faith. Everybody say this together. It was by faith. It was by faith. We're going to do that a lot. So just get ready. We're going to drill this in. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before, okay? Things that had never happened before. God gave him a revelation and said, something's coming, so you better do something about it. And so here's what I got to tell you guys. A storm is going to come in your life. It just will, I promise you. You're either going to get hit by a wall of water or you're going to be standing in your boat. The difference is faith. It's you having faith. And not being overwhelmed by everything around you so that you cannot see that heaven is giving you a plan for your storm. Here's another thing heaven wants to do. He wants to give you a strategy for your fight. Write that down. Heaven wants to give you a strategy for the fight that you're in. Check out Hebrews 11:30. We're skipping ahead a little bit. But it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the worst battle plan ever written. You're just gonna, this city, this impenetrable walls or whatever, you're just gonna march around it? That's ridiculous. But here's what God showed me when I was thinking about this. Have you ever seen the movie Monty Python? Anybody search for the Holy Grail? Quality British comedy. I highly recommend it. I love that movie. It makes me laugh. There's a little rabbit with teeth. Anyway, but it's ridiculously funny. But there's this scene where they're attacking this French castle, and all the guys, all these knights, and again, it's stupid, but they all go, attack, and they run up and they start banging their swords and their shields against this mountain, this huge castle, and then they just turn around and run away. They're like, run away, because they can't get in. And I was like, that's so ridiculous. This is the worst battle plan ever. And God goes, Chris, that's usually your battle plan. And I said, what do you mean, God? And I don't appreciate the sarcasm. He said, you're overwhelmed because you're all about your battle plan. And your battle plan is good as getting a sword and beating against a brick wall. It's not going down. Why don't you listen to my battle strategy and watch the wall crumble? Heaven is itching to give you the blueprints to your boat. Heaven cannot wait to give you your Jericho battle plan. But we've got to be willing to stop worrying and fighting on our own and start waiting and listening to the voice of God to grab his faith. Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Doesn't some new strength in your life sound good? They'll soar high on wings as eagles above the problems, above the issues. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Instead of a life of stress and tension, let's choose a life of faith and revelation. Guys, we can do that if we choose. It is a choice. Make no mistake about it. We have to choose it, and it's not easy. I'm not telling you what I'm talking about today is easy, but we have to choose it. So when we have bold faith, man, we can get some revelation of heaven's plan. Another thing that bold faith can give us is the ability to trust and obey. Hebrews 11:8. It was by faith. There we go. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land, that God would give him his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Please leave this on the screen for a second. He went without knowing where he was going. Do you realize how difficult that is? How difficult it is for us to say, God, we're just going to go. There's so many problems that brings up, especially for a guy. Man, when we're going somewhere, it don't matter. I want to hold the iPhone, man. I need to know where we're going. Katarina's like, this is extremely ridiculous and so dangerous. Let me hold it. I'm like, babe, I need to know where we're going. It's like, but Siri will tell you. Shut it. You know, we want to know where we're going. And here's what God showed me. Many times we are overwhelmed simply because we stopped following God. We're going, God, I want to know where we're going. God, I want to know where we're going. And God's saying, is it good enough for you that I know where you're going? Will you just trust and obey? Because that's where real rest comes in. My little daughter's so sweet, man. Oh gosh, I love her. She's so awesome. Beep, two little antennas. I tell you guys about that all the time. It's my favorite. She doesn't have a lot of hair, you know, so we make best with what it is. But now I love it. I'm like, but when she has real hair, it'll be harder to do the antennas. Anyway, but she's running around all over the place. But as a father, I don't sit there and go, Maya, see there across the street? Here's how you cross the street. You look both ways, and then you go across the street. So get on out there and go across the street. That's not how I do it. Here's how I also don't do it. I also don't leave her by herself and go walk across the street and go, Maya, come with me. This is how, now you got to look both ways. How does a father lead? Father kneels down and gets next to his child and says, hey, Maya, hold daddy's hand. Come up here. And she's like, squirrel, butterfly, you know. Like, no, now we got to look both ways, okay? Now let's cross together. I know where she's going. I know how to get her there. She's got no clue. Many of us are overwhelmed because we've run away from the Father. We've run away from his covering. We're out there running wild and going this way and that and living in risk that God's saying, if you just stick by my hip, I got you. And I'm going to get you where you're going. You've just got to trust me. Some of us are stuck. We won't follow. The hand of God's trying to get us to come with him. We're, because of pride, because of fear, whatever reason, we're not going with him. But here's what faith does. It gives us the confidence to follow. Faith gives us the confidence to say, God, I'm going to close my eyes and hold your hand and know that I can trust and obey and you'll get me where I need to go. That's a life of peace. 3. Bold faith can bring the miraculous into our life. And before I get into anything, I want to be real and say, this is my struggle. This is the one God brought to me. I've had some different health issues in my life, a few different things, and I hear about people saying, oh man, God can heal this, God can do that, and I just struggle with it. I hear people that'll tell me about a miracle or something that happened, and I'm going, eh, I don't believe it when I see it. Well, I believe God, but God's been challenging me big time, and here's why. We're overwhelmed because we continually look for earthly solutions to problems only heaven can solve. I'm going to say that again because I believe it's for a lot of people in here. You are continually looking for earthly solutions that only heaven can solve. We've got to have faith to believe that heaven can solve anything, any problem, any issue, any illness, any moment. And I believe God will show us. He'll show up and he'll do it. We've got to have the faith. Let's check it out. Hebrews 11:11. It was by that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and way too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. Now, this is the difficult part about this story. See, because we just read the Bible a lot of times and we skim right over information. She was old, okay? This is like, you know what I mean? Like when you're a kid, no matter how old you are, and you walk up to mom and dad's door and the door's locked, do not disturb signs on the door. It's disturbing, okay? There ain't no, it's just difficult, you know? Because But ladies and gentlemen, for a moment, we have to go here with the scripture because she was too old and realized this ain't going to mom and dad's door and the door's locked. This isn't going to grandma and grandpa's door and the door's locked. This is great-grandma, great-grandpa. What's mammy and pappy doing in there? They making a baby, people. That's what's going on in there. Defying the laws of physics and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I'm telling you right now. There's some... I had to reread Hebrews 11:11, you know? My goodness. Sorry. Most of that wasn't in the notes there. I was just... got excited and started... Anyway. Listen. We know that Sarah, so many times... just like we, it's hard to believe sometimes for these miracles. She tried to find different ways around, and they never worked. God's promise, you guys, his promise, she believed in him. His promise is bigger than any obstacle. And by the way, his promise is bigger than your doubt. She doubted too. I doubt all the time. I'm so thankful I got a God. His promise is written in the word. His promise is spoken in my heart. They're so much bigger than the doubt I face. It's time for us as a church, for us as believers, to start going, God, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I got this much belief and this much unbelief, so help me with it. And I believe God's going to be faithful to show up. Because here's why, yeah, his promises, they are bigger than the obstacles. They are bigger than the doubt. But it's our faith that activates those promises. So I encourage us, let's get bold. Even when we're doubting, let's still get bold. Look how Sarah did. She did the exact same thing. Where there are no heavenly or there are no earthly answers, let's cling to heavenly hope. Let's do it together. And I believe the miraculous is going to show up. Number four, what else? Sacrifice. When we have bold faith, we can begin to sacrifice. Now, in this moment here, Abraham was faced with what every parent of a teenager has gone through. Do I kill him or not? That's what, if you're a parent of a teen, you know, I speak the truth. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. It was by that Abraham offered Isaac as his sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. This is crazy. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. This is ridiculous faith. He's like, God, I trust you so much. God, I have so much faith in your promise over my problems that I'm willing to sacrifice anything and everything to you because I know you're so good, you're going to bring it right back. We have to believe in the promises that God, that he's so good that we're willing to sacrifice everything. And here's why. And here's why. Because you are overwhelmed. And you're overwhelmed because you're protecting what is God's role to protect. You're running around in your life. Oh my gosh, I got to worry about my kids. And I got to make sure I'm working so hard for my job. And I got to make all these things happen. Oh my gosh, how am I going to be a good husband? Oh my gosh, how am I going to do all these things? And God's going, son, all you got to do is be my son. Give it all to me. Trust me. And live with rest in your heart and peace in your life. And I know I'm telling you something that's not easy to do. Because some of the things that I just listed, those are things that are tough to give up. Tough to just trust God with. But if we want to live a Philippians 4, 6 through 7 type life, which says, be anxious for nothing. How many of us, I can't raise my hand and say, I got that. But be anxious for nothing, but in all things, everything, all things, right? Underline all things. Through prayer, petition, thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And this is the part that should blow all of our minds. A peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. We have got to cling to that kind of peace. The only way to get to it is be anxious for not one thing, but in all things, go to God. That is a bold faith. It's not easy to do, but I believe if we do it, we can get out of this cloud of being overwhelmed. What else do we get with bold faith? Number five, we get courage. We get courage. Hebrews 11:27. It was by, one more time, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes, woo, he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Ladies and gentlemen, Moses was not known oftentimes in the word for just being this fearless guy, right? You know, a burning bush sprouts up in front of him and he's like, but Lord, I'm not a good communicator. Well, I'm thinking if a burning bush shows up and tells me something to do, I'm just going to salute and do whatever. It's like, you want me to do cartwheels through the church? Fair enough, whatever. It's a burning bush, you know, but not Moses. So this guy wasn't known. So I love how God chose him in Hebrews to be the one that talked about having no fear. And here's why. Because when Moses got it, he got it good. Because when Moses kept his eyes on the king, he moved forward without fear. He didn't think about the consequences. He didn't focus on the problems because he had his eyes on Christ and on God. Fear focuses on self, you guys. You know what faith focuses on? The Savior. Fear is going to always focus in on self. Moses, I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't. Faith focuses on that Savior, the Abba Father. It's focusing on God who's going to get you right up out of wherever you're at, out of that overwhelmed cloud that you're living in. I'm reminded of the moment when we had Peter step out onto water. You guys remember this? Here, there he is, and he gets out there as long as he kept his eyes on his Savior. But as soon as the waves, the problems got too big and he got distracted by them, what happened? He sunk. And that's a lot of times what happens to us. I believe that many of us were overwhelmed because God's asking us to make a courageous move and we're right on the edge of it, but we're frozen. That is an overwhelmed feeling because it's the worst part of anything is the moment right before you take the leap. Ever been cliff diving before? One time when Katarina and I were in New Zealand, she said, Chris, I want to go skydiving. I said, I think I need to pray about the rules in marriage in the Bible if we need to stay married because you're crazy. She said, it is a lifelong dream. I said, okay, well, we'll do it. And so we go to this place and we drive up and as we park and we're walking there, I see this guy and he had this beard from his chin that was braided and I immediately didn't trust him. If you're here and you have a braided chin hair, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but I also don't trust you. So I'm just going to say that and pray later. But then he was smoking something and turned out to be the largest joint I've ever seen in my young life. And I said, what is he doing? And yeah, he's packing parachutes. The cat, baby. See the guy with the bearded chin music over there, smoking reefer and packing the parachutes? It's all you're trying to wuss out. Okay, that's good. We're going to go do this. So then we go in, and they're training you what you need to do. And you're attached to these crazy New Zealanders. That's tandem, so they get you, and they clip you onto these dudes with these little carabiners, these little metal things that I promise you are 99 cents at your local Walmart. So I've got $5.99 and made in China product keeping me from plummeting to my imminent death. Like, that's what's happening right now. And he's like, yeah, mate, you're going to be fine. Just go. You know, I'm like, oh, gosh. So anyway, and Kat's like, so we get into this plane, and we start flying. And let me just tell you, I don't care how hard you try to imagine what 12,000 feet feels like. You can try to go there. But while you are planted safely on planet Earth where you should and need to be, there's no way to fathom how high 12,000 feet is. He kept going. He kept asking me, how high do you think we all made? I'm like, why don't you shut it? He's like, oh, you got to guess. I'm like, 8,000, I don't know. He's like, oh, we're only at 4,000, look at this. Oh, he's an idiot, you know? And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. So anyway, so then we get to 12,000 feet. It could have been 40,000, I don't care. We get there, and then this is what you have to do. This is what they tell you. They go, just lean out, lean out over the edge. So I'm like, really? That's what you want me to just lean out? And they're just like, yeah, and Kat's behind me. So I'm like, all right, brother. And he goes, all right, you've got to lean out. And then you've got to cross your legs, which is a very important part of it. And then you've got to tap his hand, and that means you're good to go. So I lean out, and my heart, ladies and gentlemen, is beating faster than is it possible. I mean, I was about to have a heart attack. And I'm there, I'm leaning out, and there's no tap-tap. I'm not tap-tapping. I'm just staring. It's like, this is it. This is how I die. Like an idiot strapped to a dude from New Zealand. That's... Once again, I look back at Kat. And so I lean out, and I'm telling you guys, click, click, clench, clench, tap, tap, boom, and we just leave that plane. And I'm saying this, I'm telling you the truth. All the fear that was in my heart beating as fast as it could, the fear that was running through my mind in 1 second vanished. It was the most amazing thing. I'm flying through the air. It's so incredible. I'm flying like, this is awesome, dude. Like telling this guy. He's like, oh no, we're gonna go through this cloud and create a circle rainbow halo. I was like, what the heck is he talking about? And sure enough, we come through this cloud and this like little, this little circle rainbow halo opened up. I was like, maybe this is heaven. Yeah, it didn't matter. I was like, this is fine. Anyway, we land on the ground. Kat lands. I'm so excited. I'm like, let's do it again. I'm like high-fiving her. I missed and I hit her in the face. I was so fired up. Adrenaline pumping. Some of you right now in your life, you're on the very edge of courage. You're on the very edge of something God's asking you to do. And you're so afraid and you're stuck and you're overwhelmed because all you do, your heart is just beating. So I'm telling you right now, click, click, clench, clench, tap, tap, and let's make the leap. Let's do it. Yeah, come on, man. That's what we need to do. Why? Why? Because our faith tells us that living a courageous life for God is so much greater than living a life of fear, full of being overwhelmed. Take the leap. Jump into what God's got for you. What else can faith do? Bold faith can give us provision. Hebrews 11:29. It was by that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea. Can I just pause on this for a second? I was actually praying. I was like, man, I wish I would have told Brandon to play that song this weekend. Come on, you'll split the sea. And I'll walk right through it. And I was so overwhelmed on the front row going, God, I can't believe you put the song in for me. Because I know that this is for every one of us to believe as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. God's trying to tell us, I've got the way for you. But we're overwhelmed because we're constantly trying to make our own way instead of resting in his way. I remember I was at the beach one time and I saw a dad that built this immaculate sandcastle and his kids were loving it, but the tide was coming. And so he starts building. I mean, he had like a real shovel. And so I'm like, he's shoveling out and he's making this moat. I'm going, oh my gosh, man. And then the water starts coming and his kids are like, Dad, you can do it. And he's doing all this, but then it kept coming. I'm like, this guy's trying to beat the tides. He's trying to defeat nature. And he just kept going. But what happened? Eventually, man, that water. And he just kept shoveling sand, shoveling water. And it kept taking it over more and more and destroying it. Finally, his kids are like, Dad, give up. It's over. And it reminded me of myself and some of y'all with our bank account. God, what am I going to do about all this? I got to shovel all this out. God, how am I going to do it? Man, you can work all you want, man. Only God can part your Red Sea. Your marriage, how's this going to work? I don't know what I'm doing. God, I'm so overwhelmed. Man, in your marriage, only God can part your Red Sea. But Chris, you don't understand, man. I'm attacked on all sides. I get it. March through your Red Sea and let God engulf all your problems. Because that's what bold faith will bring, is the faith and belief that he will provide. He will show you the way. So we've got to stop fighting for our way. We've got to rest in his. And the last one, and this is my favorite, is that when we have bold faith, we can have grace. Check this out, last one, Hebrews 11:31. It was by, come on, let's get bold on this one. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Okay, in this story, so often I get my role the wrong way. See, I'll read this story and I'm like, man, I'm one of those spies, man. I'm fighting for God. I'm doing all these things for the king. Man, I'm amazing. I love God. I love people. I'm a warrior for Jesus. And recently God stopped me in my tracks and said, Chris, son, you're getting that wrong. You're not the spy. You're not the hero in that story. You're the prostitute who's given yourself away so many times, traded my gift of grace, traded forgiveness so often for a fleeting sin, a fleeting feeling, a fleeting frustration. First, I got super discouraged. I was like, oh my gosh. And God said, no, Chris, this is an encouragement. Because you're overwhelmed with fighting to be on the right side of this story. And son, this is a one-way story of grace. And the only role you have to play in it is receiving. That's all you got. And I remember just sitting there going, thank you. I don't have to be overwhelmed. I don't have to fight for this. I just have to receive. Everybody in here, I'm not trying to discourage you when I tell you you're not the hero of that story. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Because some of you are overwhelmed by religion. Every day you wake up trying to prove to God that you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God. You can't prove it. You can just receive it. Some of you are overwhelmed on the other side. Because you're like, Chris, you don't have to tell me. I know I'm the prostitute in that story. See, you've traded the garment of grace for the garment of shame. And you're overwhelmed by your shame. You're overwhelmed by a lie that's saying to you that you will never be a leader in your home. You will never be a good person in the church. They shouldn't even open the doors of this church to you. You've been burdened by that. You are overwhelmed by that. And I'm here to tell you, you need to rest and release that and receive the grace through faith in how good he is, not in what you've done, not in what you've earned. It's what he did, what he earned. He earned it for you. It's the greatest deal that's ever been brokered in the history of mankind. And we look at it and say, that's not good enough. I've got to earn my own deal. That's a lie. You just got to receive. And here's one bit of practical advice before I shut this down. Oftentimes, and it'll happen to you too, that whisper of doubt will come in. Sometimes it's just our own thoughts. Chris, you're not good enough. Chris, you don't deserve this. Sometimes it's the enemy trying to get you off track. You're not really a son. You're not really a daughter. You don't deserve. I used to fight that. I did. You know what I do now? I embrace the imperfection. I give that, when that voice comes into my, you're not good enough. I just give that a big old bear hug. Oh yeah, I'm not good enough. I've messed up so many times. That's so true. I'm so imperfect, but thanks be to God that I have a perfect Savior in Jesus Christ, that he turns every mistake I've ever made into a testimony for his good, for his glory, for his kingdom. And so I say, embrace the imperfection in you so that you can rejoice in the perfection of our Savior King. And you do it every morning, and you do it every afternoon, and you do it every night until the faith hits your heart that you don't have to earn it. You can rest and receive the gift of God's grace. Now I'm telling you right now, it's the truth that I'm speaking. And I'm telling you right now, if we will increase our faith in here together, God's gonna do some incredible things in our families, in this building, and in this city. So let's believe together, amen. Let's do it. Now, I want to say this now as we close. With the armor of God, what does it talk about faith being? A shield. A shield to protect you. So we're going to sing this song in just a minute. I promise you it's going to be good because Tracy's going to sing. And I want you to do something. I want you to sit until hope hits your heart on an area that we talked about. Until faith is renewed inside of you. And the second it does, I did this last night. The second it hit me, I can remember just what the lyric was that they were singing. I want you then to stand on your feet and worship. I want it to be like a moment where this building, we link shields together and say, enemy, good luck, brother. You ain't getting through this defense, because this is a defense of faith built by God. It's defending my family. It's defending my home, my church. So as we increase our faith, I'm telling you, it's going to do some good. Okay, so bow your heads all across this room.